Ephesians chapter 6, beginning the reading of God's Word at verse 1 and reading through verse 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. May the Lord bless to us his holy and infallible word. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been thinking together about the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And the form of the Lord's Prayer with which we are most familiar is found in Matthew chapter 6. And the context there is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is instructing his disciples in the art of faithful prayer. But we also find the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11. The time and the place are different from what they are in Matthew 6, but the audience is the same. And so it would seem that Jesus taught the same lesson to the same people, but at a different time and in a different place. Really, the same thing happens in the church today. I am positive that this is not the first series of sermons that you have listened to on the Lord's Prayer, especially from the Catechism, and I'm also certain that it will not be the last such series to which you listen. But just as Jesus repeated his instruction, so also we repeat this instruction in the church, because every time we come to the same subject matter, we see it from just a slightly different angle. Or something new is brought to our attention that we had not perceived previously. My brothers and sisters, as I studied this petition of the Lord's Prayer, what impressed me this time was that our prayers do not always reflect the balance of the Lord's Prayer, which is our model. It is customary for us to begin our prayers with words of praise and adoration and even thanksgiving to the Lord for his mercy. But very quickly, we move to our petitions and to our requests, the things that are on our mind that we want to bring to the Lord. And that's right and good that we should do so, but we notice that fully half of the Lord's Prayer, the first three of the six requests, are really for the fulfillment not of our requests and petitions, but for the fulfillment of the Lord's will. You may have heard your Roman Catholic friends or acquaintances speak from time to time about praying for the intentions of the Holy Father. And by that, they mean praying that the prayers or the will or the intentions of the Pope in Rome, that they may be fulfilled, whatever they may be. Now, you and I do not pray for the intentions of the Pope, but the question is whether we pray for the intentions of our Holy Father who is in heaven. That's what the Lord's Prayer teaches us to do. Your will, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus has just taught us to pray for the coming of his kingdom, for the saving rule and authority of Christ, for that rule to break through into human history and to establish itself. Now we are asking that his will be done. And what we are doing, brothers and sisters, is simply placing ourselves at the service of Christ and the coming of his kingdom. We are asking for submission to the righteous rule of Christ on the part of men and women and children everywhere. We are asking that our own heart and mind and body, that they may be made serviceable to Jesus. We are asking in particular for at least three things. First, that our service of Jesus Christ be conscious service. Secondly, that it be obedient service. And thirdly, that it be enthusiastic service. First of all, we are asking that our service of Jesus Christ be rendered consciously. When we ask the Lord that the will of God be done, what is this will of God that we want to see accomplished? When he was only 9 years old, my brother was diagnosed as having diabetes. And he received the very best care that was available at the time in a hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, where intense research was being done on diabetes. But we soon became aware that the life expectancy of a diabetic with juvenile onset was approximately 30 years. And my brother died when he was 38. And he left a wife and four small children. Now we sincerely wish that things could have been different, but they weren't. This is not the way that we would have planned for things to happen. But in a world which is plagued by the consequences of human sin, these kinds of things do happen. Sometimes we call them tragedies, but we accept them as God's will. For after all, the Bible does assure us that there is nothing which happens in human history that takes place outside of God's comprehensive control and purpose and will. Everything that happens in human history happens according to the predestinating and foreordaining purpose and will of God. But now, brothers and sisters, when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, your will be done," we are not asking for tragedies of the kind that I have just described, that such things happen. Nor are we asking for the grace simply to accept these things that we cannot change. We need that grace, and it certainly is right for us to ask for the grace of God to accept these things that come to us in His will and providence. But that's not the point of the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we are asking that the will of God be done as God has revealed His will to us in His commandments. And we are asking for the grace to accomplish and to perform consciously and conscientiously all that the Lord asks of us in His revealed work. In the words of our catechism, "Lord, help us and all people to reject our own will and to obey your will without any backlog." We're not to give the Lord a lot of backlog. We are simply to do as He asks of us. You see, the comparison that our Lord institutes between heaven and earth is very instructive on this point. "Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, we know that there is absolutely no difference between heaven and earth with respect to God's eternal will and purpose. The Lord always accomplishes what He foreordained, irrespective of our prayers. But there is a difference as far as God's commandments are concerned. For the angels are conscious and spontaneous and enthusiastic and unwavering in the service of the Lord and our Lord and the coming of His kingdom. They do what the Lord asks of them. But sad to say, it's not always that way with you and me on earth. And that's why the Lord teaches us to pray, "Your will be done in earth," as the King James has it, For as we ordinarily say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this third request of the Lord's Prayer, we are asking, rather we are making a conscious commitment to do the Lord's will. We are not simply submitting ourselves to a will which we cannot change, but we are committing ourselves to do the Lord's will, to reject everything that is contrary to His will. We are asking that the Lord's intentions for us be accomplished in us and by us. Secondly, we are asking that our service of Jesus Christ be rendered obediently. That is, we are asking that our service not be in accordance with our own personal preferences, certainly not as those preferences betray our sinful desires. Rather, we are praying that our service will be what the Lord requires of us, according to His revealed word, made known to us in Holy Scripture. And that is to say that our service of the Lord be in character a matter of obedience. A couple of years ago, a terrible thing happened on a ferry boat that carries passengers between Manhattan Island and Staten Island. There was a passenger on this particular ferry who began to splash about with a sword that he had recently purchased. And in slashing about, he managed to kill two persons and to wound several others seriously before he was finally subdued by an off-duty policeman. Now, of interest to us is this man's explanation for what he did. His explanation was simple. He said, God told me to do it. Well, did he? Did God tell this man to do this thing? Was this the will of God for this man's life? Well, we say to ourselves, of course not. Of course not. This man was obviously psychotic. There was something wrong with him. God did not tell him to do this. But you know, brothers and sisters, if we are tempted at all to think that God does give special revelation of His will to people today, if we're tempted to say that God does reveal His will in special ways to special people today, then maybe God did tell this man to kill other people. After all, didn't God tell the Israelites to kill the Canaanites? And are we supposed to say that all of the Israelites were psychotic, mentally imbalanced, just because they thought they had a revelation from heaven to kill the Canaanites? Well, you begin to see the point. with the fulfillment of God's redemptive purpose in Jesus Christ, we know that the day of special revelation has ceased. And so we do not look for special revelations from heaven today as intimations of what the will of God is. And that's the main reason why we cannot accept this Staten Island passenger's explanation in defense of his killing spree. No, this was not the will of God. Because we do not look for revelations from God today, God's will for our lives is already fully known to us and revealed to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. That's the revealed will of God for which you and I will be held accountable. That is the will of God according to which we will be judged. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What more do we need than to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? That's what we have in the pages of Holy Scripture. God is going to use the very same standard for all of us. And he's not going to hold some of us responsible for revelation that he has not given to all of us. And so, brothers and sisters, when we ask that the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are committing ourselves to Holy Scripture. We are not committing ourselves to mysterious voices or to vague impulses or to secret intuitions. But we are committing ourselves to the written word, which is the charter of our liberty as the sons and daughters of the Lord. We are declaring ourselves ready to give up anything and everything that is in opposition to that written word. In the words of our catechism, help us and all men to reject our own will and to obey your will without any back talk. And thirdly, we are asking that our service of Jesus Christ be rendered with enthusiasm. We are making a conscious commitment to do the will of God. Secondly, a conscious commitment to do the will of God as God has revealed his will in his holy word. Now we are also asking that our service be rendered with enthusiasm. That's why we read a moment ago from Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 7 can help us understand the point. The word that is used there is the word wholeheartedly. Paul is talking about the service that a slave owes to his master. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Paul takes for granted that our service of the Lord will be joyful and enthusiastic and wholehearted And such service becomes the model for the way that employees are to respond to the demands of their employer. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Yes, brothers and sisters, doing the will of God from your heart, and not only when their eye is on you. I am reminded of those marvelous cathedrals that you find in the cities and the villages and towns of Europe, in France and in Germany, also in England and the Netherlands. We have a cathedral of similar dimensions in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. These are massive buildings, taking years to build. But in spite of their dimensions, their mass, there is a fine attention to detail. Even high up, or in some remote corner, where no human eye will ordinarily fall, there we find attention to detail. And the carving is magnificent. That is building with enthusiasm and with devotion to the cause. Brothers and sisters, it is that kind of enthusiasm and devotion to the cause that we have in view in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, your will be done. No, we're not asking for the minimum that we can get away with, not the minimum that we can get away with. We are asking for the maximum. Your will be done, even when there is no one around to see or to monitor our behavior. The Lord has given us the very best, the life of His only begotten Son, so that we might be saved and have eternal life. The Lord deserves the very best from us. That's what we are committing ourselves to when we pray sincerely and from the heart. Lord, your will be done. Again, in the words of our catechism, help everyone carry out the work he is called to, as willingly and faithfully as the angel in heaven. I would like to conclude this evening by drawing your attention to the important place that this request has in the total picture of our spiritual welfare. Luke chapter 12, verse 47 says this: that servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. The previous verse suggests that he will be assigned a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants. Yes, we are saved from death by faith in Jesus Christ. But faith which does not respond by doing the will of God is not what the Bible means by saving faith. And on the other side, we have Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. The one who knows his master's will but does not do it is assigned a place with the unbeliever. For faith without work is death. But the one who perseveres in doing the will of God receives what is promised to faith. Obedient faith inherits the promise. Now, brothers and sisters, do you see how your eternal welfare and my eternal welfare is really suspended on the Lord's answer to this prayer in our own lives? Lord, your will be done, not only in me, but also by me. These first three requests of the Lord's Prayer have in the foreground the glory and the honor of the Lord Himself. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. But at the same time, our own spiritual and eternal welfare is bound up with the name and the kingdom and the will of God. For whatever is for God's glory is for our good. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us the grace to pray this prayer that you have taught us. Hallowed be your name. Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, your will be done. Your commandments be obeyed on the earth as they are in heaven. In Jesus' name.